How's your faith meter this morning? Good? Great? 100? Oh, 100%? Busting out all over outside of it? Your faith is just astronomically moving in and through you? That's where your faith is? Is your faith down here perhaps some days? Well, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We're going to hear about this morning. We're going to turn to the book of John, chapter 11. Yes, a familiar story with a whole other aspect of teachings for you this morning that's going to apply to your life. So there's going to be some participation on your part at the very end. So I know you're ready and keep waiting. And you want to get rid of your ifs, ands, and buts, right? Yes? All right. Because you, okay, no buts, exactly. And you want your faith to grow, correct? And your belief in Christ to grow, yes? Okay, beautiful. We got the right crowd here this morning. And those that are watching, I hope you also are ready to embark upon this story this morning that's so familiar, but yet such an awesome learning for us this morning. Each time you read the scriptures, you can read the same story thousands of times, and God gives you another message that's going to apply to your and my life as always. So as the story goes on, John chapter 11, verse 1. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Martha and Mary. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus, telling him, "Lord, your dear friend is sick." So they sent a message. We commonly refer to that as prayer, right? Anybody here ever send a message to God? All the time? Yes? And sometimes the prayer we say is, your friend, this person that we love and you love is sick. And what are we wanting God to do? Heal that person. Yes. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happens for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man will receive glory from this. So what's the answer that Jesus does about this, my brother is sick? Does he heal their brother? Say, afraid not. So Martha and Mary are in the waiting period, right? So this is where our faith gets a little shaky from time to time, does it not? Our belief in God, right? We believe sometimes that if we just put out a prayer, God's going to answer it exactly the way we want it answered, don't we? How many of us pray and expect God to answer and do exactly what you tell him to do? Yes. Wouldn't it be great if you could just boss God around just like that, right? And get exactly what you wanted every single time. But if you see in the scriptures, what Jesus says is, this sickness isn't going to end in death. It happened for the glory of God, and so that the Son of Man, referring to himself, would also be glorified. So there's a reason sometimes when God doesn't answer the exact prayer the exact way you want it, because very often it's for something greater, right? You're okay with that? Okay, we'll see. So, although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, so the way that God answers our prayers has nothing to do with whether he loves us or not, right? Right? He still loves us? And he will still answer the prayer in the best way possible for the greatest glory to God and or for the best benefit to you and your loved ones, right? Right. So even though Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. First but in the Bible we see in verse 8. But the disciples objected. Rabbi, they said, only a few days ago the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going there again? So what do we see transpiring so far? We've got two sisters that their brother is sick and they prayed. And they realize Jesus isn't coming to save their brother by this time, right? Time has gone by. So all hope is lost at this point. And the disciples who were afraid to go and die or watch Jesus die because they're so afraid of death, They're trying to talk Jesus out of going back to Judea, the place where Lazarus is. So you see how these disciples are trying to tell Jesus what to do. Just like us. Jesus replied, "There are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no lights." Then he said, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up." So Jesus has a plan, right? He's sharing this with the disciples, right? He's saying, Lazarus has fallen asleep. And while you have the light of the world, referring to himself, I'm going to continue my work. I'm not going to Judea yet to die, which is where Jerusalem would be. He realizes that he's got more work to do. So no matter how old we get, there's always more work to do until God puts an end to it, right? And so Jesus realizes, and he's telling his disciples, I'm going to go there, and I'm not worrying about dying because it's not my time yet. And is he really worried about dying anyway? Why? Because he knows he's going to rise again, right? And he says, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. I will go and wake him up. That's what his job is. Jesus' job is always to find us when we're falling asleep spiritually, emotionally, mentally, or physically. We have those days where we get so worn out, you just kind of crash and burn, right? Emotionally speaking, sometimes. We can get stuck in a place of even sorrow and grief and just stuckness, right? But you know what happens when we get there in that place because we're all friends of God? Jesus comes to wake us up and pull us up out of that. He's always going to show up in your moment of weakness, in your moment of sleepiness, in your moment even of death. He's going to come and wake you up into a new light, into a new life. The disciples said, Lord, if he's sleeping, he'll get better. They just don't want to go. They're just butting Jesus all over the place, aren't they? Yeah. You ever butt Jesus? You ever get afraid of doing something God calls you to do and ask you to do, and if it seems impossible especially, or it's scary to do, right? Like forgiving somebody or making amends with someone that you need to make amends with as an example, right? God's trying to wake up your soul and have you do that thing that's so hard and difficult, and then you tell them, but, you know, they're okay without me telling them I'm sorry. Watch out for your butts. They'll get in your way every time. If he's sleeping, he'll get better. We don't need to go. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping. But Jesus meant that Lazarus had died. They never understand Jesus when he's speaking. Any excuse, they just didn't want to go, right? They're afraid for their own selves, I'm sure. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. What? Lazarus is dead, and for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now, you will really believe. See, there's something about what Jesus wants for each and every one of us is to believe in who he really is in all of our lives. The power that he has, the love that he has for us, the miracles that he can perform, and always to show us something that we cannot believe could actually really ever happen. When our circumstances are bleak and dark, when it seems like we're without hope, at that moment, that's the time our belief in God can grow the most. Wouldn't you say so? When everything's going great, how's your belief going? I don't really need it today, do I? Right? When things are going good and life is the way it's supposed to be, the way you want it to be and I want it to be, we don't need belief at that point, do we? When do we need belief in God? At our darkest moments, right? And that's what Jesus wants these disciples to do, is to finally believe in him and his power and his glory and his might and his capability to do with any circumstance that even seems impossible, to transform it into something greater and better. And to prove there really is no such thing as death. Thomas, named the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let's go and die with Jesus. Mr. Positive. All right, let's just go. We're all going to die. Mr. Doomsayer, how's that for a belief? When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got the word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." Where in the world were you? Mary and Martha both said the same thing to Jesus. If you had been here, this would not have happened. How many times in our life do we see awful things happen and we say, well, if God was here, this wouldn't have happened? We all say that sometimes, don't we? Or when something bad happens, we say, where was God? As though God just disappears from sight. God disappears and closes his eyes and doesn't even care about what's happening to people. If only you had been here, my brother would not have died. Here's what they're also showing, what they believed Jesus could do. They believed that Jesus could have healed this man, Lazarus, and stopped him from dying. That's what they believed. But let's take it a little bit farther. Did they believe that Jesus could raise Lazarus from the dead? Did they believe that maybe there was a good reason why Jesus didn't show up on time? And Jesus responds in verse 23, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." It's going to be a long time from now. This is what Martha believes. That the resurrection was some way off, far, way off thing. On the last day when all humanity is risen. That's when he's going to rise. And here's what Jesus says. "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone," can you say that word? Anyone. Anyone? Anyone. Does that include all of us? Are we in anyone? And are we in everyone? Yes. "Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying." So death is going to come to all humanity, is it not? Death of all kinds of things, right? Yes? Not just physical death. But even after that, what happens? We will live again. Something new comes. A new beginning. A new way. New life comes. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. If we understand that he's the only life that matters about our life, there can be no death, right? Because in him is only life. There is no death in Jesus. So when you have Jesus, you have life. Even when you're tired, you have life. And God wants to bring you back to life. When you lose hope, when you lose your dreams, when you lose things that you think aren't ever going to come back again, he gives you a new life. You understanding that this morning? Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. It's going to take a while, I think. Oh, I hope you're not hungry. Everyone who lives in me, see, lives in me. How do you live in Jesus? It's in Jesus is where we live and have our being, the scriptures say. When we live in him, there is no such thing as death of anything. There's only new all the time. New life in some way, shape, or form. You understanding that? We go from glory to glory to glory. You understanding that? So life only gets what? Better. Even though it feels worser at the moment. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. What? That's not a true statement, is it? Is it? Are we going to physically die? And then what's going to happen? We're going to rise again. Because you can't die in Christ. It's just transformed to a new life. Right? in the heavenly. He's talking to spiritual things. He's not talking to earthly things. We only think in terms of the earth and the world, right? Right here, right now. That's where we live, right? Right here, right now, in our present moment. But when you live in Christ, every moment is a new moment to live and be alive and experience something new, right? Yes, Lord, she told him, I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. Then she returned to Mary. And then the story goes on, and when he shows up at the tomb, the people are there crying and wailing and so forth, and Jesus gets frustrated in the sense that, how can you not believe after you've seen all the miracles I've done? This isn't the first person that has died that Jesus raises from the dead, right? If you know the scriptures, there are many others in scripture that he rises from the dead. Now, this is the only one that's been dead 4 days. See, back then, they believed that after 3 days, the soul left the body. So the fourth day, you were really toast. That was it. No chance of resurrection whatsoever. Day four. What day does Jesus show up? Day four. Do we sometimes, when we go through life, when we wait for the third day, when Jesus rises, right? We know the future story of him, right? As he resurrected, right? We think, well, 3 days have gone by. I'm surely everything's going to be great now, right? And what happens? Bleh. Yeah. Oh, wait, nothing changed. Because sometimes it takes 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. We don't know how long it takes for God's glory to show up. In the meantime, you keep living, though, correct? That doesn't mean you stop living because whatever you prayed for hasn't been answered yet. But 4 days go by. And so Jesus sees the people weeping, and he's like, oh, these people, they just can't believe. Their faith only goes so far. They believe that I could heal someone, but they don't believe I can resurrect someone. And sometimes is that not you? Are there some things that you compartmentalize God into in the sense that God can heal this, God can change that, but God can't do this and God can't do that? Those are your buts, right? Anybody have any? God can heal that person, God can bless that person, but God can't do this for me. Some of us live in that place sometimes, don't we? We don't feel worthy or enough or whatever it is that we think in our minds. And we limit God. But God is not partial. He doesn't pick and choose how he's going to bless a person. He's only going to do it for the greatest good of all concerned and for God's glory to be shown so that you can believe. Sometimes for the sake of others, you're going to go through some things. Who would like to volunteer? Wait a minute. If you could help other people believe in God because you went through something, how many of you would volunteer? I'm not doing well this morning. All right. If you knew that if you went through something for all the sakes of others, and in the end you would be rise again and live and be even further better off as a result of that, now how many would volunteer? Anybody? All right, we're getting there. Imagine being Jesus. He's going to Jerusalem to die not long after this. This is about a week and a half before his very own death. For the sake of all of us, he was going to go to that cross. Now, how many of us who are believers in Jesus Christ and say, I want to follow him wherever he leads, I'm willing to go through some things for the sake of the souls of others. Now, how many people want to raise their hands and be like Jesus? Yes. Yes, for the glory of God. Because life doesn't end in death, does it? That's the worst thing that could ever happen to us, except for listening to a long sermon. But Jesus says, where have you put him? Lord, come and see. Jesus wept, mostly because of the unbelief of the people. See how much he loved him. Jesus was probably weeping that Lazarus was stuck in that tomb, waiting for Jesus to get there 4 days when he was really alive behind the stone, waiting for Jesus to show up. And Jesus is weeping. Sorry, Lazarus, I had to put you through this. I got you good and dead, and you're behind a stone here in this cave. I'll be there shortly to rise you up. Sorry you had to go through this, but I got bigger things to show people, the entire world, about the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ. See how much he loved him. And some said, this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? See, they're all about what they want from Jesus, right? They're only going to believe in him if he does the thing that they want him to do. Keep him from dying. Are we going to be kept from dying? No. But are we going to be kept from living? That's up to you. That's up to you. We don't know the day or hour of that we're going to leave this place and be in glory with God in that heavenly realm. In the meantime, live as though you're living, not waiting to die and give up on dreams and give up on hopes and give up on yourself or give up on God. Don't let your butts get in the way of your being able to do great things for God in terms of your belief and your faith in him. In the impossible. God does the impossible, right? See, Martha explains to Jesus, she says to him, wait a minute, hold on, Jesus, before you go talking to Lazarus right now, he's been dead 4 days. He's going to stink. The smell will be terrible. You notice right away she's going to stop Jesus because she can't get to the point where she believes her brother could be alive, right? See how far her belief only went. That only Jesus could heal him, but not resurrect him. And so she tries to stop Jesus from getting near Lazarus. And here's what Jesus says. Roll the stone aside. I got my gas mask on. I'm not afraid. She was explaining, Martha was, the impossible situation and circumstance that Lazarus was in. How many of you explain things to God about how awful things are and how bleak these circumstances are, right? And you tell him, oh, if only this and if only that, but this didn't happen and that happened instead. And then you explain why God can't act. That's where our faith sometimes goes shrinking down to almost nothing. And what does God say to that? Whatever that stone is that you have in front of whatever it is that you are praying to God to do for you and ask God to do for you so that others will see the glory of God in and through you is to roll that stone aside. Something impossible? God says, roll the stone aside. You full of doubt? Roll the stone aside. You helpless? Roll the stone aside. You hopeless, roll the stone aside. And guess what's going to appear? Didn't I tell you that you would see the glory of God if you believe? They rolled the stone aside. I don't know how many times he said it. I don't know how many times we have to help you when you're in your prayer life or when the things aren't working out and you keep giving us your butts and you keep giving you if only this happened or that didn't happen or if only things would life would just magically get better and you're not having your faith and your trust in God that God's going to move the stone out of your way for you and rise you up again. If you would only believe in God's power to move in your life, to bring back to life those things that may have even, in your opinion, died. God can bring new life to even that, especially to your very soul. And then Jesus shouted. That's where I learned how to preach. Lazarus, come out. They finally rolled the stone away, my man. You've been sitting in here for 4 days. You knew that I was coming for you and I was going to raise you up out of this place. And there you sat behind this stone alive. See, sometimes the things that block us from our blessings are the things that we put in our own way, which is lack of belief, lack of faith. And we hold on to our impossibilities, put them up in front of God every single time and say, this is too impossible for God to change. Is it? Not when you roll that stone aside and that God calls you out of that place. And sometimes we're the people that have to call people out of the place of that darkness that they are in. But in the meantime, it takes a little work, doesn't it? Because we got to roll the stone aside. The stone of lack of belief, lack of trust, lack of faith. So there's a lot of people that were involved in this particular little story here. That Martha and Mary, whose belief went so far. The disciples who were afraid to even go bother, they were so afraid of dying themselves that they couldn't even help Jesus with Lazarus. Some of us are those people. Sometimes we get in our own stuff so much that we can't even step out and help others. There's the crowd that thinks everything is hopeless. Why can't Jesus do anything? He doesn't care. Those naysayers that are out there, do we listen to those? No. And then you got poor Lazarus. The man who was sick and died. And some of us are sick and tired. And when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired and sick and tired and sick and tired, maybe God's going to step in and say to you, roll the stone aside. Take your excuses, move them aside. Take your lack of belief, move it aside. Take those things that you think are impossible and roll them aside. Stop claiming the things as though you have to, that they are as though they're not. And claim the things that aren't and make them be what they are. Now, in other words, death has no power over any of us, does it? Did Thomas get killed during this time? Did Jesus get killed during this time? No. Did the things those people believed actually happen? No. I want to say this to your minds. Your mind has no power over what God can do. You can believe in the awfulest things that could happen to you. You could have the most catastrophic thinking you could ever want to have. That doesn't stop God from being miraculous and doing the impossible for you. So even those of you that are sometimes half empty, and I want you to be full, 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 know this. Even those things that you imagine that could go wrong don't always do they? So the story goes like this. Lazarus was sick, and he died. And he was put into a cave. And they rolled a stone in front of it. And they left him there for dead. And Jesus showed up. How many of you need Jesus to show up in your life today? Is there something in your life for which you really need help from God? Is there something that seems so impossible, so immovable, so uncertain, that you just don't know a way out of where you're at? Anybody in this room coming from there? Anybody think that God has abandoned you, left you for dead, and will never care for you? Anybody here, anybody watching? Anybody ever think those kind of things? Never? Today, let's roll that stone aside. And I'm going to call you out of that place of darkness into the marvelous light and the glory of God. And listen, you'll come out of that place where you were, where you live with your butts. And some of you have some big butts, I must tell you. And you exchange that butt for God, for Jesus Christ and the power of God. What would happen to that butt? It would shrink and fall away, would it not? And you would have new life in Christ. And you'll have a new way of looking at life, because life only gives you back what you expect it to give you, in the sense that when Jesus Christ is in you, he is the resurrection and the life. So the question is this: is Christ in you? Yes? So life is in you, right? So I want you to look alive. I want you to live as though you can't imagine the things that God is going to do in and through you. And I want you to think about, God, use me for your glory. Let anything happen to me, God, and so be it, because I know you're going to take it and make a miracle out of it, and somebody's going to get a belief in you because of it. Mm-hmm. Yes. Every time you have a victory in Christ, every time people are watching and they, a little more belief comes. We talked about the faith meter earlier. How does it grow? It only grows through circumstances that are tough and hard and dark and deep and awful. And out of that comes resurrected life. There's hope in God. Believe in that hope. Share that hope with others. Please share your story. How many of you in this room at one point or another were practically dead spiritually speaking? Yes? How many of you are alive because of Christ? Yes. Yes. And so we live as though we're alive, full, powerful people. When Lazarus, do you think Lazarus just comes stumbling, bumbling out of that cave? He was like, woo, 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 I'm back, I'm alive, look at me, hey, sisters, whoa. Wow, it was great in there. Nobody bothered me. It was quiet. Oh, I couldn't hear either one of you talking to me all the time. But all of a sudden, there was this flash of light. And I felt this warmth and this love come in there. And it's like I've never felt it before, and something changed inside of me. Or now I want to live. Lazarus was sick before this, right? Spiritually, emotionally, physically even. When he came out of that tomb, he was newly alive, wasn't he? He had a rebirth, a new birth. I'm sure he looked at life a lot different out of that cave than when he went in it. Am I right? God wants you to change your point of view and your perspective on life. Sometimes when we come out of a dark place, when the light comes on, we're so grateful, aren't we? Let's not just have to have bad circumstances make us grateful that life is ours. So as you think about the stone that's in front of your life, whether it's doubt, fear, worry, loneliness, addiction, hurt, pain, sorrow, trauma, you name it, roll it away. And begin a new life today. Come out. Come out. Come out into the light and live your life to the fullest. Amen.